The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark Sigmund, what do we have this week in recovery news?
So we have some crazy news. Recent testing has uncovered alarming levels of dangerous mold in cannabis. The recent investigation by the Wall Street Journal took marijuana from 9 states dispensaries, and they found mold. And they figured out that, of course, marijuana is very susceptible to mold because it's grown in hot and humid environments. Now, the issue is they're supposed to not sell this pot. And what they're finding is the labs are underreporting the mold, which actually can cause sickness and in very, very rare cases, death. It's very dangerous to people that are immune compromised. And it's really kind of a blockbuster thing because it turns out there's tons of this mold going around in the pot supply area.
All right, so now the stuff is laced with mold.
Now it's laced with mold that's grown naturally. And what they find is people that smoke pot are 4 times more susceptible to getting fungi infections. Now, besides this, we've talked about it before, you also have a lot of chemicals that are put in the marijuana to grow it. That's how they get this really potent pot these days. You know, they use lots of pesticides and things like that. So I think in the future, Gary, we're going to hear a lot of bad stuff from side effects of this. And sometimes it can lead to headaches and things, the pesticides. Gosh, I'm just, as I read all this stuff, I'm like, I probably have so many pesticides in me from back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the way you're talking right now, you must have.
Yeah, a couple little brain blocks right there.
But
Gary,
you know what, Mark? So the mold's in there. I don't know how dangerous mold is. I mean, it's not like the other stuff.
It can be. It can be very dangerous, especially for people that are immune compromised.
Hey,
you know?
I bet it might be, you know, people, maybe they're smoking mold now.
Well, they don't know they're smoking mold, but, you know, they're actually getting it from these dispensaries, mm-hmm. and this stuff shouldn't even be sold. And what they're finding, there's so much of it that they're underreporting it to save money. And now you're hearing some recalls on some marijuana out there. So I was kind of scratching my head when I read this story, Gary.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, that's good stuff, Mark. That's good stuff. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, former Philadelphia pitcher Randy Lurch is going to be with us. Great guy. He was an incredible athlete, and he's got a really incredible story. And we'll get to hear it as soon as we come back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you, within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hendler. I'm with my co-host, Mark Sigmund. And you can also, to the audience, enjoy our show on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 FM, HD2 in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR in Tampa, Florida.
And all over the world.
And all over the world. Yes. With the podcast and all that,
the
right?
The podcast. Download the podcast. Subscribe to it in the iTunes store. And, you know, on Facebook.
Sounds good. All right, we're back. I like that song, Neil Young.
It brings chills. I mean, if you picture this guy, it sounds like he's doing heroin
in the basement.
In the basement, and I think his daughter's upstairs or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really eerie, isn't it?
Yes, it's very eerie, Gary.
Brings back.
It does.
You get high in your basement?
All the time. Yeah, yeah, all the time. And that was a moldy basement at times, you know? So
you should be immune to it.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah. All right, before we start the show, and Randy's on the line, this is our fundraising season, and we're really looking for help from our audience all over the world. Go on our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and hit the donate button and make a donation to us. We don't care if it's a dollar, five, ten, whatever it is. We need the money to keep this going.
Yes, definitely do it. We definitely need to keep carrying this message, Gary. Don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we're doing it for 12 years. We know we've gotten people, a lot of people in treatment. We've educated a lot of people. And if you enjoy this show, and besides, we have fun doing it, but it's a real serious subject, go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, hit the donate button. Now, as we said last week, we have so many people who are watching us, not just listening, watching, and they watch us on Facebook, and they watch us on our Facebook page, Clean and Sober Radio, Clean and Sober Radio on Facebook. You can go on it right now and watch us do the show live. And we want to recognize all our listeners each week, but it's impossible. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a question out, and if you answer the question, just could be a couple words, and mandatory, you tell us where you are calling or watching from. We'll be glad to mention you on the radio.
Yes, and it seems like every week we get people from different parts of the United States. You know, we had somebody from the Maldives. We had somebody from England. I mean, it's really cool to hear where everybody's coming
from. That's the fun of it, right?
That is absolutely the fun of it.
So here is the question of the week.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you think that insurance companies should have to pay for people who show up at their door multiple times, and apparently when they come out, they don't follow what they should do to be clean and sober? This might be controversial, but just let us know. Should the insurance companies have to pay unlimited amount of times for us, our community, who go to seek treatment?
Yeah, and I mean, I have an answer for that, but what? You know, absolutely, because I've had so many people in treatment as a therapist who were in treatment multiple times and then ended up getting clean eventually, and it's mostly not a one-shot deal. And then you take somebody with heart disease or something like that and cancer, and they're willing to cover it as much as possible. But then when it comes to the disease of addiction, which costs more money to hospitals and more money to society, they balk at paying.
Okay, that's your opinion. We'll see.
Yes, we'll see what everybody else's is.
Randy Lurch, you on the line?
Hey, Randy.
I am.
Randy, hello. Our buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Gary and Mark. I was talking to you yesterday, Gary, and I feel extra grateful today because just a few days ago, I turned 70 years old.
Believe whoa, it or not. Wow. And,
when the doctors 8 years ago said, you're a walking dead man. I just, so much has happened since then. Of course, the main thing is sobriety and just an extra grateful time for me.
Well, let's just clarify. When you say you're dead, so you have cirrhosis of the liver, correct?
Yes, I have cirrhosis of the liver and, you know, I... I was told many years ago, you know, you're drinking every day like it's New Year's Eve, and sooner or later it's going to catch up with you, and it did. My belly about 8 years ago started growing immensely. I went and had an ultrasound, and my doctor told me I needed, you know, I had cirrhosis, I needed to go to a liver specialist. And after seeing him and him reviewing my MELD score, MELD score is a score that tells the doctor just how sick you are and how bad your liver situation is. He reviewed that and said I needed a liver transplant, put his arm around me on my way out the door of my first appointment and said, I just want you to know you can go into liver failure today.
You're in
big trouble.
Wow, I can't even imagine how scary this. But, you know, I think the message is for all of us out there that are listening, you know, we never thought that all the stuff we put in our bodies was going to do anything to us because we were like Superman, Superwoman. But we do pay the price, don't we?
We sure do. And one of the messages I tried to convey in my book, God in a Bullpen, was that I had no idea, you know, after being a drinker for so many years, and, you know, you get the hangover, and sometimes it lasts even 2 days or more. But, you know, you always get to feeling better. Being an athlete, professional athlete, Major League Baseball player, you thought you were Superman. And I just figured, you know, when people said, one of these days it's going to catch up with you, I just thought that meant that it'll catch up with you, you're going to feel bad and get better.
Yeah.
I had no idea that cirrhosis was a death sentence. And boy, after finding out what the doctor said and doing, you know, some, you know, internet stuff and finding out from other people, from the doctor, I found out that I was in, you know, really big trouble.
So Randy Lewis Lurch is an American former professional baseball pitcher who played in the major leagues for the Philadelphia Phillies, Milwaukee Brewers, Montreal Expos, San Francisco Giants from 1975 to 86. On September 30th, 1978, Randy, you hit two home runs in a 10-8 win that clinched the National League East Division Championship for the Philadelphia Phillies. You were also part of the Phillies' 1980 World Series team. Man, you did so much stuff. You know, for anybody who was living under a rock in the 80s, I just wanted to familiarize them with you. You did a lot of stuff, and we'll get into the bad stuff also that happened with the Phillies. But so you're living out in California right now, and I got to meet your wife over the phone a couple days ago, which was great. And we sold our 1976 Triumph TR6 as a big mistake, man. Right?
Isn't it funny, Gary? I don't know if you do, but every now and then I pass one of those relics, those great jewels on the road. TR6?
TR6, six-cylinder.
Yeah, TR6. And I look at my wife, Maria, and I said, Maria, can you believe that I used to have a car just like that? And I just loved it. And I know you did, too.
I love that car, you know. I bought it when I was living in Hickory, North Carolina, and those cars are worth a lot of money today, you know?
I bet they are. I have no idea, but, man, I was feeling pretty cool in that thing. You know, I had just signed a major league contract. Believe it or not, I signed with the Phillies. I was an eighth-round pick, but I signed for $20,000. After bonus and everything, it was $28,000 back in the day. And I thought I was the richest human being alive. So I went out and paid cash for my TR6. Gary, I paid brand new out the door. I paid a little over $5,000 for it.
And what year was it?
I was cool.
It was a 76, right?
Yes.
That's the last year they made them.
Well, it was actually I did it in 1973. I bought mine in 73 because I'd signed with the Phillies in 73 right out of high school.
Man, you must have thought you were the cat's meow, huh?
I was.
Yes, you were.
Randy, I got in trouble with my dad because I was you know, I was acting way too cocky. Mm-hmm. And he had to settle me down a little bit. You know, he said, "You're feeling a little bit too big for your britches there," back old term. And you know, he said, "You need to cut that stuff out. You know, yeah. Things are going good for you, but you haven't accomplished nothing yet."
How old were you?
I was barely 18 years old.
God, you signed a major league contract at 18 years old?
Well, I signed, they call it a major league contract, but I actually signed with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they call it a major league contract to go and play in the minor leagues, you know, and I was shipped at barely 18 years old to Auburn, New York. Never been on a jet plane before, and was about to go and find out what minor league baseball, professional baseball was. And what's amazing about it is I thought after pitching my high school, you know, my senior year, that I was done. And after signing with the Phillies, then, of course, that was 73. In 1974, I would start in Auburn, New York. But they don't do that. You go right from signing out of high school, the high school year's over. You graduate from high school, they ship you over there. And you play a half a season. I actually I pitched over 100 innings, like 90-some 100 innings, and was 9-2 that year with the Auburn Phillies. So I actually pitched two seasons that year on my way to the major leagues, and made it to the major leagues at 20 years old.
Well, you must have had a lot of girlfriends.
No, because I Janet, at that time the love of my life was I just had started dating, and man, I was a young kid. She was my first love, and I ended up marrying her.
Yeah, so, I didn't mean you had a lot of girlfriends. You probably had one girlfriend. Who you married?
I had
right?
one girlfriend.
That's right. That's right, Randy.
That's right.
If you're just watching or listening and you want to talk to Randy, this is a great opportunity to do that. 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. And I'm assuming that Randy will be glad to answer any questions. Right, Mark?
Yes, and I got a question for you, Randy. What was it like hitting those two home runs and clinching the National League East, right? What did that feel like, especially from Philadelphia, with the Philadelphia fans and everything like that? I think you were away when you did it, though, playing outside of Philly. But what was that like for you?
It was. I remember that I was just overwhelmed, nervous. I found out in a big hurry that Philly fans. They expect their teams to win. And I was telling Gary yesterday that, you know, that I had some deja vu with the Phillies losing this year because we're having such a great team. And the team, you know, the Phillies fans expect you to win. The national press, you had a group, you know, I mean, we got Mike Schmidt at third base and Luzinski and Carlton pitching. It just goes on and on. And with the Phillies losing this year, I know what it feels like because we had, in 1977, we lost to the Dodgers in the playoffs. In 1976, we had lost to the Reds. So we just went to the playoffs, lost. And then in those days, the playoffs would take you to the World Series. And so there was not all that wild card stuff. And I knew after losing in 1977, going into Pittsburgh in 1978, we had a heck of a lead, and then we went into the final days of the season in Pittsburgh, and the Pirates were hot like crazy. We had a 3-game lead, 3.5-game lead with 4 to play. We had a makeup doubleheader on a Friday night, which we lost both games. So then my game was Saturday. And so the anxiety just was unbelievable because I knew what the fans expected. I knew the pressure was on me. We had just lost those two games on the Friday. And here I am, you know, trying to get some sleep the night before. And I remember taking batting practice, and I had a great batting practice on that Saturday. Willie Stargell had talked to me about that before because he said you were hitting so good. And what do I do? Speaking of Willie Stargell, I go out there in the first inning, and I give up a grand slam to Willie after we had scored a run in the first. And
Willie Mays?
I remember Willie Stargell. Yeah, Willie Stargell, and you know, the Pirates had that great team with Parker and, you know, Stennett. All those guys, and so when I came to bat, you're asking about the home runs. I remember I was super mad. The anxiety had gone away after giving up that terrible grand slam to Willie. So we're down 4-1, and I said, you know what? If I got to go back to Philadelphia and let these people boo me, I'm going to get a piece of somebody. And Don Robinson threw really hard. He threw one, he gutted one right down the middle, and I hit it in the second deck in center field in Pittsburgh for my first home run. And then I settled down, was pitching well, kept them, you know, held them down, and it came up the next time. And it's funny, like a little voice told me, well, you're going to hit another one. I'm talking back to myself. No, I'm not. And the second pitch, I lined a shot over Dave Parker's head and right. And we ended up tying it up Danny Ozark, believe it or not, after that took me out of the game with the bases loaded and two outs for a pinch hitter in the fifth. But we went on to win that game 10-8. I was the winning pitcher and hit two home runs, and we clinched the division against the Pirates. But then we went on and lost to the Dodgers in the playoffs in 1978. But it was a great thrill, Mark.
Yeah, it sounds
Randy,
like it.
Randy, you were one of the rarities in baseball, because pitchers usually weren't good batters, and you were.
I love to hit, Gary, and I always said I like to hit better than pitch, and I was like an all America hitter in high school. Mm-hmm. As I would come up through the minor leagues, I would take batting practice and stuff like that, pinch hit. So the Phillies, believe it or not, with Carlton and Christensen, both real good hitting pitchers, we took it serious because we felt like it could help us. And so when I went into the games, I took my batting practice serious. I loved to hit, and it paid off sometimes.
Well, yeah. I wanted to ask you, and I asked this once before, when you hit a home run and you're running around the bases and people are screaming, do you hear anything?
I didn't. I've seen a couple of the, like the 23-22 game when I hit the home run in left center, and I saw myself running, you know. I watched the guys, just like I watched Soto hit a home run for the Yankees. And I'll tell you what, if I did that back in the day, I'd expect one, you know, buzzing my earlobes, you know, the next time up. They didn't put up with that crap. You hit a home run, you be professional about it. You run around the bases like a professional, and you do your celebration in the dugout with your teammates and yourself. So
yeah.
It felt good, but I also knew that you know, you don't do that.
Yeah. If you're just joining us now, we're talking to Randy Lurch, former Major League professional baseball player. And again, if you want to watch us do the show, go on Facebook and go to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, just like these folks. Kathy Wolf Collin, hi, from Coral Springs, Florida. Judge Christopher Maddox, have a great show. Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. Let's see who else. Let's see who's going to mention where they're coming from, Mark.
Yes, I see one on here.
Who?
So that would be Joe Weber from Havertown, PA.
That's the center of the universe.
Man. Yes, and he talks about people who need treatment and follow their doctor's advice.
Yeah, so. And you know, I see that Randy Lurch is watching.
All right.
Let's see who else. Let's see. Okay, well, we'll get back. Here's what we have to do. We have to take another break. When we come back, I'm going to start to talk with you, and I'll talk to Randy about the drug addiction and the problems within the Phillies organization. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we are back. You know, that drop was done by Ricky Bird from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Good friend of the show. I haven't spoken to him in a while.
You know? Yeah, and he's a big baseball fan, let me tell you.
I know he is.
But he's a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
Yep. I see his posts all about the games.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Okay, so Randy, welcome back. Not long after the World Series in 1980, there was a scandal within the organization. What happened?
Let me back up. In those days, we called them greenies, but they were uppers, amphetamines, and they were the steroids, pretty much of our day. I didn't even know what a steroid was. I guess if I knew they were going to help me, I'd have taken them.
Yeah.
The people, you know, my teammates, some of them, not all of them, took greenies to get an advantage, and I had a teammate who was a very successful pitcher tell me after I'd won five of the first seven games I had started in the major leagues, offered me greenies and said, if you take these, you won't be able to keep up, the day-to-day activities, pitching a whole season unless you take something to, give you an advantage. And I did, and I had an addictive personality. And not only did I take those and like the feeling, but I realized I couldn't sleep if I took all those. And drinking a bunch of alcohol and partying on them was a lot of fun, but it also took away my concentration. It made me not a pitcher anymore. It made me just a thrower. So I thought I could just throw it extra hard. And get the hitters out that way. And I went from, like I said, 9-2 and went in the first five of seven games in the major leagues to a 500 pitcher.
Randy, did you realize ahead. When you were using those greenies that it was messing you up, or you just thought it was maybe you've been around too long?
No, not at all, because this was when I was a rookie. I had no idea that it was messing me up until it was too late, and then I became addicted. The problem was, as I had always, like a lot of athletes do, you get just so nervous before the game, you think that you're going to throw up, and you almost feel like you there's no way you can go to that mound and throw the ball within an inch of the home plate, 95 miles an hour, like I did, and so... When I would take the greenies, it took away my anxiety, and I liked that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I liked the feeling so much, I was willing to trade it in for pitching well, believe it or not. And I also liked that alcohol feeling, that party feeling, and it just snowballed into an addiction, both with the amphetamines, and you could drink a lot of alcohol when you're taking those things. And I ended up taking those greenies and more and more. Graduated after my career into cocaine, and it just I liked that upper feeling, and it ruined me.
Did you like Quaaludes?
I never tried those. You know what I did? I heard Quaaludes. You can tell me, Gary.
Yeah, right.
I heard those things make you feel sleepy and kind of, you know, out of it. I hated that feeling. I like to feel up and, you know, like a racehorse before he goes out of the gate. I like that feeling.
Randy, let me clarify. I like Quaaludes, but I also like Black Beauties. Also.
Oh yeah, I like those too. So you mixed those, didn't you?
I made them.
He made them. He owned a clinic. Well, and I'm sitting here thinking like Quaaludes would not go well with pitching. out of all the drugs out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, it would be like, oh, wow, I just had to give up a home run. No big deal.
If you've ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Mark, you wanted to ask Randy about an incident that happened.
Oh, I ask you every time you're on the radio, Randy, but it's such an interesting story and kind of a traumatic story. And it's about the dog. You know the dog attack?
Yes. There's a few stories like that in my book that you know, you look back on things and, you know, Gary and Mark, that you look that there's no way I should be alive unless by God's great grace. And I was well into my alcoholism after losing my family. This is a point where I was actually drinking a quart of vodka a day. And I was only waking up for a few hours a day, and then I'd get the shakes so bad that I had to down a bunch of vodka again. But, you know, I woke up and I took I drank a whole, you know, water glass full of vodka and a little bit of cranberry juice. And so I was just, before I passed out, I said, well, there's this girl that I know is babysitting a house. And she was house sitting. I had no idea that this house had, and it was just within walking distance of where my apartment was. And so I walked over there. I had no idea that they had a Great Pyrenees dog in the backyard that was chained up. So I went and said hi to her. I looked out and I said, oh, look at that beautiful dog. It's a beautiful white dog, about 160, 170 pounds. They're bred, I hear, in Switzerland to protect cattle from bears. So I walked out there and she said, I heard that dog's mean. And I said, dogs love me, you know, drunk out of my brains. And so I walked up. The dog was wagging its tail. I started petting it and no big deal. And I turned around to walk back to her place, and I felt a power like I've never felt. The dog grabbed me by my elbow and just drug me to the ground, just flipped me to the ground like I was nothing. You know, I'm 6'5", 220 pounds, and that dog dropped me, and I never felt strength like that. We fought in the major league, big, strong players, but nothing like that. And before I knew it, the dog was on top of me, and I can still see it these days. His molars, his canines were lunging at my throat. I had it by the by my hands by its jowls on each side, trying to keep it out of my throat, and it was just ripping holes in me, ripping a hold of my arms, it almost got my main artery. And by God's great grace, I was able to roll it. I was still strong enough, and just kind of shoved it a little bit, believe it or not, and jumped. And I looked behind, and it just, the last lunge, it just missed me. And I looked down, and I was bleeding to death. And I screamed at the girl. She wrapped a towel around me and rushed me to the hospital. And the doctors sewed me up and saved my life. It was another one of my things by alcohol and by God's great grace. God saved me from another tragic event to Randy, do what I'm doing now, I believe.
Was it your left or right arm?
Let me look. That was my, shoot, what arm?
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute. Oh, man, it was my left arm.
Wow.
It actually tore a hole in the right where my crease of my arm was. It stuck its canine, and the doctor said it just missed my main artery. And then it actually, the canine ripped the top of my bone of my arm right in two. And so it took me a long time to heal. And I still see that that dog to this day. I had some friends that were in the police there in New Jersey, and they went over to see the dog, and it was a great dog. And they said it wasn't white anymore; it was red. It was covered in my blood.
Oh my God, Randy, we have a viewer from Villanova, Pennsylvania, says I hate the Dodgers. Thank you, Randy, for the walk down memory lane. My dad would have loved hearing from you. That's nice.
Well, you know what? I hated the Dodgers too.
Yeah, well, and,
I actually pitched well against them, and believe it or not, my dad was. You'll love his story. My dad was raised when he was a boy in L.A., and he just loved the Dodgers. And he would come to watch the Phillies play, and I would hear him slip. Go Dodgers, you know, type of thing. When I'm pitching that night. You know, I said, Pop, what are you doing? I said, you know, I'm pitching tonight. He was a big Dodger fan. It made it extra special to beat the Dodgers, you know, because they had great teams. I mean, my goodness, Reggie Smith, Dusty Baker, Steve Garvey, Say, Lopes, Jaeger, you know, it goes on and on. It was fun pitching in Dodger Stadium, and it's fun for me to watch now and be able to see that same stadium. And I tell my grandkids, you know, that's the same mound that your grandpa pitched on. And you know what I get? Yeah, right, Grandpa.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like either they don't believe it or it's like, yeah, so what, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just, you want Grandpa to teach Tyler? You want Grandpa to teach you how to pitch or hit? I already know how to do that, Grandpa.
That's great. So, Randy, tell us what happened with after the World Series with the amphetamines and the doctor and that whole mess.
Well, what had happened was the team had gone off to do what do they call it, that when you're doing like a celebrity kind of a exhibition game, that's the word I'm looking for, against the Reading Phillies. And I was pitching the next day, so my teammates that were taking the greenies had been getting them from a doctor, and this is all documented by the courts and all that stuff. And they went, his name's Dr. Mazza. I don't think he's here anymore, but he was the team doctor there, and they asked him if he would write prescriptions for them while they were there. So he did. And he said that once he got them filled, that he would send them to the stadium, and he would send them by somebody that the guys knew and stuff. And I was sitting out on the bench, and somebody said, well, there's somebody that has something for you outside the door of the locker room, the Phillies locker room. And I went and looked, and he said, well, I got a package for you. And it was his runner. I had no idea what it was. I didn't ask for him. And I went back, and the teammate that I never mentioned his name, people can always figure it out, said, you know, there's somebody down there that has got some greenies for me. And he says, oh, yeah, I ordered those for you. He says, just pay the man and get them. I paid the man and gave them to my teammate. And they end up, because it's like a class 2-3 drug or something, but it's still illegal to, unless you have a special prescription to have those. And the DEA was investigating. They saw a bunch of famous names. You know, they saw Pete Rose and guys like that. And so they looked and saw it was the Phillies. They started investigating it, and they thought the doctor was writing names for prescription of famous players and selling them on the street, and which was farthest for the case. The doctor was just trying to do the guys a favor. And they brought it for a pretrial hearing. put the guys up on the witness stand, and some of the guys looked at the doctor who was sitting in the front row of the court, said that they had never seen him before. And so when it was my turn to be on the witness stand, there's no way that I could lie that I didn't know the man. So I said, yes, I know Dr. Mazza. Have you ever gotten those from him before? And yes, I did. And at that point, they threw the case out. No charges were filed, except that I ended up getting traded. I ended up out of Philadelphia to Milwaukee, and I ended up. The thing that I did was save the doctor's practice, but by telling the truth, it hurt me. But I'm so glad that I did the right thing.
And this was big news back then too, right? It was in all the newspapers and everything. So that must have been really hard to really just take the fall for that, Randy.
Well, it's funny. I'm in my love me room as I'm talking, and I see one of the articles that believe it or not, they're back from. Let's see. This one is May 1980, but. That was about that time, and we were called the Philadelphia Pillies.
And, really?
And they said, "Yeah, you guys are nothing but liars. Look at the liars." Well, I wasn't a liar. I told the truth, and But I got beautiful letters from his family and thanking so much. Basically, they said, "Thank you for saving daddy's practice. You're a saint."
Wow. Hey, Randy, I happen to know that a guy named Greg Carter was at your house today.
Is Greg Carter on the line?
He's watching the show right now.
Well, he's going to be there. He's one of my brothers in at church and in Christ. He's going to bring a friend. Who a brother that really a brother-in-law that has been that is suffering with some serious health issues, and he's a big fan. Greg's going to come over in about an hour.
You know, you never invited Mark or me to come over. What's that about?
Here it is for all the fans. It is official. You are invited. Now, what are you going to do when you don't show up?
And where do you live again?
Don't do that. Oh my God! Hey, you mentioned Pete Rose, Randy. I'm assuming you knew him pretty well. And what are your thoughts on him being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
That's a great question. And I knew Pete, but I didn't know him well. Mm-hmm. I knew that Pete's what a great player. Pete's whole life was baseball, and as far as the Hall of Fame, I believe that it's just two things. If you are going to induct Pete for being one of the greatest players to ever live, he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. If you are going to induct Pete by going against probably the major rule, It's like the Bible says, if you deny the Lord, that's the greatest sin. He says you will not get into heaven if you deny him. And Pete, it says right there on the way walking in the locker room after the gambling scandal that gambling will get you banned from baseball for life. And, if you don't follow the rules, you don't deserve to the benefits of getting in the Hall of Fame, the way I feel.
Right. I totally get that. 1-888-728-9941 is the number here. 1-888-728-9941. When do you get a chance to speak with a famous former National League baseball pitcher? This is the opportunity, guys. Don't be afraid.
And definitely pick up his book, God in the Bullpen.
Right, we're showing it right now, Randy, your book, and tell the audience where they can get it.
You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And And before we leave, are you taking a break?
We're just going to go to a commercial. You're coming back.
Okay. When you get back, I just one thing before I leave, I want to tell the people.
Absolutely. So this is a good time, Mark. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Not at all.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking, and so good luck to everybody, and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio with Randy Lurch. He's our guest. By the way, Mark, I spoke to Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge yesterday. He's coming on the show in December.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, good guy.
Very good stuff.
Okay, Randy. Spotlight's on you, bro.
Well, before we got off, I don't know how long much more time we have, but you know, I always like to ask God what would be the best thing that maybe I could say that in people are struggling with addiction or struggle with hope in their life, and I can I know that and people find this hard to believe. I know by being an alcoholic, an addict for 40 years and drinking pretty much every day, except the days that I was in rehab or, you know, been eaten up by a dog or something. And I can tell you, people find it hard to believe, but with all the accomplishments, you know, making it to the major leagues and everything, sobriety, getting sober, has been the greatest accomplishment, bar none, in my lifetime. And I can tell you, it's not easy. It's a miracle every day being sober. But if we take it almost like a major leaguer would, as he's working out and dedicating himself, if we start each day, and my day starts with in prayer and then doing my workouts and stuff, if I dedicate myself, I hope people can realize just how great your life can be, and it can even snowball, even you doing even great things for God's grace by helping others with their addiction. So please, people, take it serious. Your life will be the best you could ever imagine by getting sober.
Randy, are you comfortable if somebody wants to reach out to you? Is that a possibility?
I was asked that just the other day. This is my purpose, Gary.
Okay.
My purpose is to help if it's just one soul. I've personally written probably 3,000 people on Facebook Messenger, talked to people on the phone, talked to friends of friends. I've even spoke at Folsom Prison and other places. I get letters from people that I never even could imagine saying, I'm going through a divorce and I couldn't come out and say what I'm struggling with addiction until you came out, because a Major League Baseball player that, you know, bears his soul about what he is. I'm an alcoholic and I'm an addict. People will have so much respect for you and you will help them in return. So absolutely, please get a hold of me. You can friend me on Facebook or people can email randy.lerch@yahoo.com. I will write you back and I will, we'll figure out, how best, my words can help you and what we can do.
Give your email address again, Randy. I didn't want to give your stuff out, you know,
I have cards. I send them. It's randy.lerch@yahoo.com.
Great.
Email me or you can friend me on Facebook. I know what it's like to be in the fight of your life. And by God's great grace, and if people read my book, you'll see, you know, what all I went through and how God just kept saving me. It is, like we talked about, Mark, it's not just one time. Many times. It takes some time to get sober. And I kept doing that, and I think God finally said, well, you're not listening, so why don't you try the cirrhosis on for a while? And I don't know how long God's given me, but my purpose in life is to save as many souls as I can through his hope and get them out of the horrible addiction they're in.
Well, Randy, again, Mark and I thank you so very much for giving us your time. And, you know, we consider you one of the best friends we have at this radio show.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So, have a great weekend.
Yes, Randy.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and you'll be hearing from me whether you like it or not.
that would be an honor, buddy.
All right.
I would love to see you. And you know what? People, hang in there. The Phillies are going to win sooner or later. We did.
All right. Yeah.
That's right.
So,
Randy, we love you, brother. Yeah, have a great weekend.
Love you guys. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Having me on.
All right.
God bless all.
Bye-bye.
Is he a great guy, man?
He's awesome. And he's got so much great wisdom.
Yeah. We got time here. Mike Burke from Media, Pennsylvania. I'm just seeing who was listening to us and is telling us where they're from. Well, people don't follow directions, you know?
Looking for where they're from.
We're looking for where you guys are at.
Yes, post it. Post it.
You never end a sentence with a preposition. That's the only thing I learned.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because my son, I had to proofread a 23-page short story yesterday. And just the grammar is just trying to remember everything, you know, prepositions, verbs, subjects, you know?
Yeah, listen, I have to mention this. Mark and I have been doing this show today all day. I mean, the last hour. And two women have been sitting in the studio watching us do it. So it's Hillary and Carrie. And they just wanted to see what it was like in a real radio station. So there they are.
They've been great guests. And great guests are the ones that are off camera but aren't making noise.
And they're great to look at.
I don't know, Gary.
Again, listen, this is our drive. We're trying to raise money. Please go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Make a donation. Hit that button. If you enjoy the show, let us know by just making a small donation. It really will mean a lot to us.
Yes, absolutely. So, So, Gary.
Yes. What?
So, I was going to, you know, I've just been working. I wanted to give a shout out.
Listen, I meant to ask you. Yeah. Gosh, we got through. How's work?
It's great.
Where are you working now?
So I'm working at Pennsylvania Recovery Centers, and they have Cherry Hill Recovery Centers in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Isn't that Chris Terry?
Yes, Chris Terry is a part owner.
Wow.
We offer housing, IOP, psychiatry, PHP, sober living. It's really just a great program, Gary. And if you want to get to be a part of it, it's 610-233-4342.
Mention that phone number.
610-233-4342. All right. It's great treatment.
I forgot to mention. Oh, we got to mention that until the place gets filled with people. All right?
All right. Here sounds great.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. Now, listen, for Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Handler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Tyler is very upset with me because I'm ending the show too early.
Always too really?
Early. Yeah.
And he's got some kind of...
He's got a mask on so we can't see him. I don't know what he's doing in here. He thinks he's a low
Halloween
ranger.
Time, I guess, right? Halloween time.
Yeah, Halloween time. What are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't know. Should we dress up for that show?
Yeah, we're going to.
Seriously?
I'll be Mrs. Claus.
Okay.
All right? All right, guys, listen, have a great weekend. Thanks for everything, and we'll catch you later.
When the system tries to bring you down.
I just say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.